Take your Bibles, if you will. The book of Luke, once again. Some opening thoughts on this 2014 Labor Day weekend. If at first you don't succeed, destroy all evidence that you ever tried. If your parents were childless, there's a pretty good chance you will also. From every family tree, a nut must fall. Everyone has a photographic memory. It's just that some are short of film. The light at the end of the tunnel has been turned off due to budget problems. Tact means closing your mouth before someone else wants to. I read those a while back and I thought, we'll use them. Maybe you've heard me use them before. Thank you for laughing. It encourages me. Yes. But if you would, let's stand together. Luke chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 1. I think this is an excellent area for a Labor Day message, as it talks about a steward. A steward is one who manages domestic concerns or a collector of rent or payments. And he has a job to do. And we find in verse 1, and he, that being Jesus, said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward. And the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig. To beg I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? Then he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask now that you would have your hand upon this service today. And Lord, we pray for these we've mentioned who have health issues. Lord, that you would heal them. That, Lord, you would give direction. Lord, that your will be done in their lives. Lord, we ask that you would bless the Covenant Baptist Church today. Lord, we ask that the Heavenly Father, Lord, that you would be pleased. We ask that Jesus Christ will be honored. We ask that the Holy Spirit would move. Lord, we pray that this will be a great day here today. In Jesus' name we pray, and with thanksgiving, amen. Thank you, and you may be seated. Jesus has been talking for quite a while. Some believe that this series of parables, which began in chapter 14, occurred about 6 months before his crucifixion. And he has gone from the parables of the found sheep and the found coin and the found son right into what we call chapter 16. And we find that from a spiritual standpoint, the question must be asked, for whom are we working? Read verse 13 with me. Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. We must be careful in our daily walk that we are not laboring for the devil and his crowd, but that we are being used of the Lord. So who is your master? For whom are you working? Jesus has been speaking primarily to the Pharisees, and now he turns his attention to the disciples, and note the word also, and he said also unto the disciples. See, the disciples were with Jesus, but they had to make sure that they were still laboring for him. Ecclesiastes 5:12 says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. We mentioned in Sunday school that God does not use lazy people. He wants to use people who are usable and who desire to work. Nehemiah 4:6, for the people had a mind to work. And we know that the walls and the gates had to be put back up at Jerusalem. Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me, that I should not destroy it, but I found none. Isn't it sad when the Lord is looking for someone to do the job and he can't find one? James 2:18 says, show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Great verse for today, Dr. Mark. We find Galatians 6:7-9, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. The labor continues. Matthew 11:28, come unto me all ye that what? Labor. And I will give you rest. 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In 2010, as part of my sermon for Labor Day, I brought you the thoughts of Orman L. Norwood from the Everlasting Nation magazine. And he had this thought, our schedule is tight. The end is in sight. Our cause is right. Our future is bright. And may I say, our schedule is tight. We find that just as Brother Norwood said, surely these are the last days. Prophecy is being fulfilled. Jesus is coming. And may I say, it wouldn't bother him if he came before we went downstairs for our potluck. But folks, the Lord is coming. Let us work for his honor today, this week, this month, this year, until he says, your job is done. Come on home. And then we will be rewarded. So let's work hard. And let's work faithfully. Take your Bibles, if you will, and keeping your place here, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 13. See, we are saved by faith, but we're saved to work. We're not saved and then we are to take our ease, but we are saved so that we can continue to propagate the Word of God. In verse 13, 1 Corinthians 3, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. What we have done for Christ will be put to the test. But we must realize that we are not saved by works. Notice verse 15. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved. Yet so as by fire. We are to work and be used of the Lord. For our schedule is tight. The end is in sight. You know, we all like a project to be nearing its completion. My wife has me doing yet another honey-do thing at our house, and I've got it about halfway done. I can see the end. It's all in bags sitting on our patio. I know it's almost done. Aren't you glad when a task is done? But the end is in sight, and the task is almost done. Our time to do the will of the Lord is growing shorter. There's the song that says, "Work, for the night is coming, when man's work is done." John 9:46, "The night cometh when no man can work." That leads us to the fact our cause is right. Mocked? Yes. Ridiculed? Of course. Misunderstood? Unfortunately. But our cause is right. It doesn't matter how many times you read in a magazine where they talk about the fact that we evolved over millions of years. The fact of the matter is the Bible says God created man on the sixth day. And that we are in a young world and not an old world. They call good wrong today and wrong good. We find that society causes and calls us bigots and intolerant. But the fact of the matter is it's better to be right with God than to be right with man. Now, let me say that one more time. It is better to be right with God than to be right with man. It's better to lose a friend because you stood up for what was right than to go around with the crowd and to be wrong with God. Some of you are going to be going back to school soon. Parents are saying, "Yeah." But it's better to be right with God than to be part of the in crowd. It's better to do right because our cause is right. Remember, we are on the winning side. And remember also that He will never leave us nor forsake us. Let us stay true to Him. Our future is bright. All of God's glories await the believing soul. Do you look forward to heaven? I tell you what, we ask that question and it's a stupid question because all of us are looking forward to heaven. Our desire is to see what heaven is all about. Number one, God is there. God is there. In hell, there'll be darkness. There'll be separation from God. There'll be torment. There'll be pain. But in heaven, there's going to be love. Love like we've never known before. Can you imagine what that love is going to be like when we are in the presence of divine love? It's going to be light like we've never seen before. We were discussing the other day, I can't remember where, Brother Stephen, but we were talking about will there be shadows in heaven. There'll be no shadows in heaven because light will be everywhere. God's glory will be there. It's going to be special. And we look forward to that fact that all God's glories wait for us. And may we hear Him say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." But He can only say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," if we have been a faithful servant. Does a faithful servant just do nothing around the house? No, he is busy. In the Lord's house, we need to be busy serving Him. As we continue, Jesus worked. How many of you believe that Jesus worked? Jesus worked. He was involved. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. He went about doing good. He was busy about His Father's work. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give His life a ransom for many." We are to be busy. We find that God remembers. Nehemiah asked, "Remember me O my God, and wipe not out my good deeds that I have done. God will remember what we've done for his cause. The author of Hebrew writes, for God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which ye have showed toward his name. We find that he knows what we have done. The book of 1 Corinthians, as we read, says that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. It's not in vain. You may not see results, but God is honored when we are willing to do something for him. I mentioned 2 weeks ago how I had talked to Kirk and invited him to church. And Kirk told me that, well, he had grown up Baptist, but he no longer went to a Baptist church. And I felt bad about that. And I encouraged him to go to the Baptist church where he lived. And then I talked to Jim, and he told me, that was the next week I talked to Jim, and he says, well, he had grown up Baptist. And of course, I knew that because part of that time he came to our church. And he said he was too busy. And I told him, I said, you can't be too busy for the Lord. You got to go to the house of God. And yesterday I was talking to Ryan, and I invited him to come to our church here. And he goes, I was brought up Baptist. And I thought, 3 weeks in a row, Lord, I've talked to young men who grew up Baptist, and today they're not serving. And I talked to him, and he says, well, I'm just so busy. Folks, we can be so busy that we have forgotten our Lord. Let me say that again. We can be so busy that we have forgotten our Lord. We are doing so much that we have decided that we'll put God on the back burner. Folks, the day is going to come. You're going to stand before that God. You're going to stand before that God that you say you're too busy to serve. You're going to stand before him and he's going to ask, what did you do? I came from heaven and I died for you. And you're too busy? I'll be honest with you. Can I share something with you right now? I was spoiled. I grew up in a home where I never asked, are we going to church today? Dad, did I ever ask you, are we going to church today? You say, well, yeah, you knew you were going to church. That's right, I was spoiled. I didn't have to worry about it. I knew on Sunday morning that I was going to church. I knew Sunday night I was going to church. I knew Wednesday night I was going to church. And I think to myself, how many people have said, I'm just satisfied with going on Sunday morning at 11 o'clock. I'm bearing my soul to you. I don't understand that. See, I didn't come from that. And I think to myself, Lord, what can I say? What can I do to encourage people to take the next step to be involved with the Lord? I was talking to a pastor down in Warren. And he told me, he goes, I can't motivate my people anymore. He goes, I want to quit. Do you think I ever feel that way? Yeah. You're great people. Can you imagine what we could do if we would say, Lord, set my soul afire. Let me have a desire to do something. The steward hadn't done anything. And he was going to lose his job. May I say this? We need to remember that God remembers what we've done. And that what we do glorifies God. John 15:8, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. Bear much fruit. Our labor is designed to bring others to God because we are the salt of the earth, we are the light of the world, and we are to let our light shine before men. That is our job. And when we are a good worker, we shall be blessed. James 1:25, he, that being a worker, being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Shall we stand together? To be used of God. As we read through the Word of God, Amos was a herdsman. Daniel was a government employee. Joseph and David were shepherds. Elisha was a farmer. Matthew was a tax collector. Luke was a doctor. Paul was a tent maker. Peter, James, and John were fishermen. Jesus himself was a carpenter. They were busy, and God used them. And God's desire is to use us. As we think of Labor Day, we think of those who labor. May we be found laboring for the Lord when he calls us home. Dear Heavenly Father, we ask that you would bless this time together. And as we have this invitation time, we ask that the Holy Spirit would move and touch our hearts. Lord, we pray that we could be called faithful servants. And Lord, we ask that your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.